Jesus uses the yoke, a figure of speech, to teach us some lessons. I don't want to talk about that this morning. First of all, I want us to look at what a yoke is. This is a video clip behind me of a man farming in India. And there are some oxen, and they're yoked together, and they're being used to pull the plow as the field is being plowed there. I want you to notice, you may not can see there, the man has a whip in his hand, and he's gently nudging one of those oxen to keep them going and going in the right way. And I also want you to notice something else. We'll talk about this later in the lesson. I won't show the clip again. Notice that those oxen had really been trained. You know, just because you put a yoke on an animal, it doesn't mean the animal automatically knows what to do. They had been trained quite well to be able to do that, because that looks pretty difficult. It gets a pretty small circle there, and they were doing very well with that. Another type of yoke is used to harness one animal to an implement or maybe to a wagon, as we have here. And as a matter of fact, a harness that you would use on a horse is called a yoke. So that's a second time. I want you also to notice there is a whip there. A whip is also used. I want to talk about yoke in a third way, and perhaps this is more applicable for us. It seems like it is. In the Asian countries, even today, there is a yoke used that is upon a person, an individual. And I didn't have enough time to find out if this yoke was actually in use at the time that Jesus was teaching. But remember, he grew up and he was teaching Asian people. So I suspect that it was. And this is a yoke that is on a person. And I found some interesting clips that I couldn't bring with me because of copyright issues. Yokes are used to put water buckets on both sides, and the person would walk through a field, and there would water the field with these two water buckets, and they were connected with a yoke. And so a yoke is used so someone can labor, can work. We have our yoke, not with someone who is behind us with a whip, but with a shepherd who is leading, who is our forerunner, who goes before us. And so I think this third illustration for us is very applicable. Not as being whipped by one who has brought us into bondage, but being led by our Savior, Jesus Christ. We voluntarily put this yoke on, as the woman in the picture here. We voluntarily do the work, I suspect, as the woman in the picture here, as Jesus leads us. When we put on Jesus' yoke, we do it voluntarily of our own free will to do His work in His kingdom. Now, I want us to notice, first of all, this fact, this spiritual fact. If you'll turn with me, you're probably still there. Matthew 11:29. Notice that everyone is wearing a yoke. As we think about this figure of speech, this metaphor, this illustration, think about the whole world, and everyone has a yoke on. It just depends on whose yoke you've put on. That's the only difference. Notice that Christians, verse 29, Christians have Jesus' yoke. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart, and you will find rest for your souls." We have on Jesus' yoke. But I want you to notice a couple of other things. Go with me to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Now, if we were to depart from Jesus, if we were to fall away, turn away from the gospel, then we would put on a different yoke. We would take off the yoke of Jesus and we would put on another yoke. Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. So if we turn away from Christ, we take off His yoke, which is a yoke of freedom, and we put on another yoke that is a yoke of slavery. Now, I want to talk about this yoke of slavery just a little bit. Go over with me to Romans chapter 6. Now, again, the point is everyone has a yoke. Everyone has put on a yoke. You can take that yoke off anytime you want, and you can put on another yoke anytime that you want. And, of course, the question is, whose yoke do you have on this morning? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3, just look at a few scriptures very quickly with me. Remember verse 3, that we're baptized into Jesus Christ and into His death. Now jump down to verse 6. knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. I want you to realize in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1, that slavery is referred to as a yoke. And so we are no longer slaves of sin. We no longer have on the yoke of sin, the yoke to do those things sin would have us to do. We no longer obey sin in its lusts. That yoke has been taken off in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, for he who has died is freed from sin. In other words, freed from the yoke of the slavery of sin to put on the yoke of freedom, that is the yoke of Jesus Christ. Now go down with me to verse 16. 16. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? So you see, everyone has a yoke on. We each make ourselves slaves to someone, to something, either in obedience to sin, to have that yoke, the yoke of Satan, let me suggest to you, or in obedience to God, the yoke of Jesus Christ, to have that yoke. Now I want to read just a little bit further so we can grasp this a little bit better. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. You see, we make ourselves slaves of righteousness. And again, slavery, 1 Timothy 6:1, is spoken of figuratively as a yoke. We voluntarily become slaves of Christ. Get this, we voluntarily take on the yoke of Jesus Christ to do his work. Taking off the yoke of sin, how do we do it? We're baptized into Jesus Christ. Chapter 6 and verse 3. Look at verse 19. Paul says, I'm speaking in human terms. But, well, I'm doing that also, so we can grasp this morning. Because of the weakness of your flesh, he says, for just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. Now look at the beginning of verse 22. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God. And so when we become Christians, we're baptized into Jesus Christ, the yoke of sin is taken off, and we put on the yoke of Jesus Christ. Everyone is wearing a yoke. There is no question about that. The only question is, whose yoke are you wearing this morning? Is it the yoke of Satan to sin, or the yoke of Christ to do his work in his kingdom? Now let's look at this process. If you'll turn back with me to Matthew chapter 11, I want you to notice the process that Jesus talks of here. He speaks of four things that we do. And also, I want to use our songbook number 268. I appreciate Chris leading this song, because this song, taken from our text this morning, illustrates this process that we're talking about. We've already sung about it this morning. The first process is we have to go to Jesus. We have to go to Jesus, because he is the one who has the yoke of freedom that sets us free from sin, the yoke that we can put on voluntarily. He has that yoke. And that's in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Jesus says, come to me. And so you have to hear this call. We're called by the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2:14. You have to hear this call and you have to go to Jesus. And now at Jesus' feet you say, Lord, now tell me what to do. And you take it from there. Remember in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, the Spirit and the bride invite everyone to come to take the water of life without cost. Everyone is invited. I want you to notice also that those who respond to the call in obedience, Acts 2:47, are added to the church, the Lord's body, and the church, the ecclesia. It is the called out from the world, called out from sin to put on the yoke of Jesus Christ. So number 268, we've just sung it. Hark, the gentle voice of Jesus falleth. You got to hark. You got to listen. And you got to go. Tenderly upon your ear, sweet his cry of love and mercy calleth. Turn and listen. Stay in here. So first of all, we have to go to Jesus. Second of all, we have to take the yoke, Jesus says. In this song, number 268, and the very first part of verse 2, take his yoke, for he is meek and lowly. We have to take it. We go to him. We have to take his yoke, and we put on that yoke. How do you do that? We've already talked about it this morning. From Romans chapter 6, verse 3, you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're baptized into Jesus Christ. You're set free from the slavery of sin. In other words, the yoke of Satan is broken so that you can now take the yoke of Jesus Christ and you can put it on. That's the second step. Well, the third step is to learn. Becoming a Christian is only the beginning. And now we must learn Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. And just a little bit further in the verse, take my yoke upon you and learn. You see the process? Maybe you've just become a Christian recently. Maybe you've just taken on the yoke. You're in the process of learning. Many of the young that we have here, many of the young who have become Christians, maybe they're not even in high school. Maybe they're in middle school. Maybe high school. Maybe college. Much of what you are doing right now, you are learning. You've gone to Jesus. You've been freed from the yoke of sin. You've taken the yoke of Jesus, put it upon you, and you're learning. You're learning. All of us learn. We never stop learning. Ephesians 4:20, we must learn Christ. Ephesians 5:10, we learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Remember in the first illustration, the video clip, and remember the oxen there. And can you imagine? It would be rather difficult to teach those oxen how to go in that circle. And that circle gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Those oxen had to learn. You just didn't put that yoke on. All of a sudden, they knew how to make that rather intricate maneuver, if you ask me. They had to learn how to do that. They had to learn. We have to learn also. Again, our song number 268, and once again in the second verse, take his yoke, for he is meek and lowly. Bear his burden to him. Turn. He who calleth is the master holy. He will teach if you will learn. He will teach if you will learn. So we have to learn. Now the fourth step in the process. Now as we learn, we have to bear the burden. We have to do the work. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yes, there is a burden. Yes, there is work to do. Just like the oxen, they had a burden. Just like the horse, it had a burden. Just like the woman with the pails of water, she had a burden. Yes, in this matter of, in this way of speaking, you have a burden. Not the burden of sin. And all the troubles and all the difficulties with all the deceptions of the evil one, not that burden. You've been freed from that burden. You've been set free. But you have the burden of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the burden here isn't something that is perplexing to the mind, that is so difficult to the mind, that we're so distraught over. But it is a burden we take gladly. The love of God is to keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. But yet it is work. As we learn, we work. You learn and work. And the more you learn, the more work you do. In our song, verse 3, then his loving, tender voice obeying, bear his yoke, his burden take, find the yoke his hand is on you laying, light and easy for his sake. So we have to go through this process. And every one of us is in this process. And this process never stops throughout all of our life. Learning and working. Now, I want to make some application from the metaphor. The first one is we never take off the yoke. As Christians, we're faithful unto death. We never take off the yoke. And if we do take off the yoke, that the Lord has given us this, we can freely do it. We have a free will. We're not to take it off, but if we do, we fall away. We turn away from God. We return back to the world of sin. We put back on the yoke of slavery, the yoke of sin. But as Christians, we're not to take it off. Go with me to Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. And here we have those who were bearing the burden of the Lord. They were helping Him fight the great battles that needed to be fought. And here the victory of the Lamb. Revelation 17, verse 14. These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them because He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with Him, those are the saints. The ones who are with Him, the ones who are fighting with Him, are the called and the chosen and the faithful. You see, this is our work. To fight in the Lord's army, to fight the good fight, we put on His yoke. We learn and we work. We are faithful all the days of our lives here on the earth and in heaven. All that we do in word and deed is done in the name of the Lord, Colossians 3:17. In other words, we do not take off the yoke. If we do, we fall away. But the second thing of application I would like to make this morning is that Christians are yoked together. We are members of the church. We're members of the same congregation. We are all working together for the same goals to accomplish our work. And I want to use another illustration here. Here we have horses who are yoked together. They're harnessed together. We have six horses, and they're working together. Well, what do you think would happen if one horse stopped doing his work? If one of the six stopped, all six would stop. We're working together. We are striving together. We are bearing our burdens together. We are bearing the load together. Each of us has a job to do, and we must do it successfully for the whole, for the congregation to be successful. Just as all six horses had to do their job. They were not necessarily all as strong, equally as strong. I'm sure some are weaker, some are stronger. I'm sure they've got different personalities as far as horses go. But they all had to do their work so that they were successful in pulling the wagon. Turn your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 12. And I want us to be reminded this morning that we all have work to do. We're not all the same, but we are all in the same body. We're part of the same church. We're part of the same congregation. And we all have work to do, and we must do that. Romans chapter 12 and verse 4. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ. And individually, members one of another. Individually, members one of another. In other words, we're yoked together, working together to accomplish the same purpose. Verse 6. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Now, indeed, there's not miraculous gifts today. But we do have these gifts. We do have these blessings. We do have these talents. Each of us is to exercise them accordingly. And then goes on and lists a number of different gifts from the Lord. Some are miraculous, some are not. And so we are each to be working. We are teamed together. That's what you call a group of horses like that, right? It's a team, and we are a team led by our chief shepherd, who is Jesus Christ, and the shepherds among us here, Dennis and Jerry, as they shepherd this local flock. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, each Christian has work to do. We are equally important. The result of this is growth of the body as each one does his share. That's what That's what Paul says. Each does his share, results in growth. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, but we're not bound together with unbelievers. Notice we are with believers, with Christians. We're equally bound together, harnessed together, on the same team, working together to accomplish the same goals, but not with unbelievers. Things are different. We don't have the same ultimate goal. Our desires and our aspirations are different. And so we cannot be equally harnessed, yoked, teamed together with those who are unbelievers. The third point of application this morning. Jesus' yoke is the easiest and the gentlest. Let's be reminded of that. Once again from Matthew chapter 11. And we've got the yoke of sin. There is the yoke of Satan and all of the deceptions of the evil one in every way that you could think of it. His yoke is the difficult yoke, the hard yoke, where there is sadness and depression and broken families. The list is endless. But yes, there is a yoke. There is a burden with Jesus. There is work. But it is the gentlest, the easiest, and the lightest. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. How do you get rest? You've got to get the yoke of sin off and put on Jesus' yoke. That's how you get your rest. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus helps us. Let me, if I may, extend this metaphor a little bit further. Imagine yourself being with this team of horses we saw just a moment ago, and there is one horse all by himself standing in front and pulling just like all the others. He is the leader of the team. Let me suggest to you, I think we can extend this metaphor that Jesus is yoked together with us. He is our brother from the book of Hebrews. He is, in essence, a co-worker. We are working with him. It's not that Jesus has nothing to do. Jesus is very busy in heaven. Jesus now, who had was the propitiation for our sins, now at the right hand of God, who is our high priest, our advocate, our mediator. He is very busy working to get us where we need to be, and that is in heaven. We are not pulling the load alone. Jesus is helping. Jesus served us by taking our sins to the cross, Romans chapter 15 and verse 3. He did not serve himself, but he served us. Jesus is teaching us now through his word. He's helping us to do the work. He's leading us as our chief shepherd. He is our compassionate high priest, our advocate, our mediator, seated at God's right hand. Jesus is helping us. He has not left us alone. One final point of application is that we are responsible. And I won't take time to read all of Matthew chapter 25 this morning. You remember the two parables and then the teaching on judgment. Just as you have the 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. The 5 who were wise were ready to do the work. They were standing at their ready. So we too are standing at our ready. And part of standing and being ready is part of the work. It's part of the work. They had learned what was required, and they were ready to act, just waiting for that moment. And you remember the parable of the talents. And there, each of the 3 was given according to their ability. We do not all have the same work. We do not have the same ability, but we're all equally important. Remember that each was held accountable, that he did his best. And we too will be held accountable. Yes, that we put the yoke on. Yes, that we learned. And yes, that we worked according to our ability. Get this. Someone can get to judgment day. He can have the yoke on. He could have learned. And he could have been working, but only to a fraction of his ability. only to a fraction. And I believe the scripture is very, very clear that he'll hear from the Lord. Depart from me. Depart. And then from the end of Matthew chapter 25, there is judgment. So we are accountable. We are responsible. Yes, to go to Jesus, to take his yoke, to learn, and to work according to our ability. Everyone is wearing a yoke. Everyone in all the world, if you can see that picture, is wearing a yoke. Whose yoke are you wearing this morning? That's the question. Is it Jesus' yoke or Satan's yoke? And if you're wearing Jesus' yoke, are you working according to your ability? Or are you slacking off? That's a question all of us must answer. Finally, our deeds tell us what we're doing with our yoke. Are they the deeds of God, the deeds of Satan, and the deeds to the best of our ability? The neat thing about it is, if you don't have on the Lord's yoke this morning, you can put it on. It's your choice. You make the decision. You put it on. I want you to think about this. If you don't have on the yoke of Jesus Christ this morning, I want you to think about putting it on. Number two, if you have it on but you're not working according to your ability, I want you to think about making that change in your life. If you need us to help you this morning by praying for you, I want you to come forward in just a second. If you're not a Christian this morning, won't you come to the front? We'll help you put on the Lord's yoke. If you are a Christian not working according to your ability, won't you come to the front? Let us pray for you and begin doing that today. If you take songbooks out, number 294, if we can help you at all this morning, won't you step to the front now as we stand and sing.